It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Quality of Life Technology Center is a National Science Foundation engineering research center in Oakland. The program incorporates disciplines from Carnegie Mellon, University of Pittsburgh, and other groups, all focused on improving quality of life for older adults, people with disabilities, and their caregivers. Director Dan Swarick joins us to explain how the center addresses the needs and activities of everyday living by prototyping robots, mobility assistance technologies, and new ways to monitor health and wellness. Dan Swarick, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
How would you describe the many facets of the Quality of Life Technology Center, the things that you do?
Well, one of the exciting parts about it is that we actually have a multidisciplinary team. Not only are the actual subjects part of our design team from the beginning, but we have clinicians, we have rehabilitation scientists, we also have electrical engineers, computer scientists, human-computer interaction, and all come together as a team to solve a problem that's been brought to us.
So what are some of the problems that you've tackled?
Well, we have four test beds. One test bed is trying to keep people living independently longer. We know that people want to continue living in their own familiar environment. And there's a big economic impact here because if we can delay by 1 month people going into a nursing home, it's $1 billion a year. So there's a large amount of potential here. Second thing that we have is QualtBots. These are robots that help people who have physical disabilities to, for example, prepare meals. Third area is safe driving. This is an area where people's independence is important to them and they'll be able to continue to drive safely longer. And the fourth one, which I'm pretty much in charge of, is quality, is basically called virtual coaches. So as our caregivers are becoming fewer in number and more people are becoming older, how do we coach them through various mental and physical tasks?
And we'll get to some of the technology here that goes beyond robotics, but I think we're all fascinated by robotics and robots and what they can do to assist people. And so you were talking earlier about helping people, for example, to prepare their own meals. And, you know, a lot of what happens when you go to a nursing home is that's all done for you. But for people that still want to be able to do that, assuming that it's mainly physical problems, physical limitations that would prevent you from, you know, being on your feet in the kitchen, right, and producing and preparing food. So what kind of a robot have you produced that can go into someone's home and help them make dinner?
Well, it depends a little bit on your capability. So ideally, you have a desire. Your desire is to make a meal. Your capability may not be up to making a meal. And what we're trying to do is bridge the gap with just the right amount of technology.
Let me give you a scenario then.
Right.
Okay, let's say I'm a guy that, you know, my knees and hips are shot.
Right.
Maybe I haven't had the replacement,
right,
operation yet. So I generally have to get around with a walker,
right,
or some other device. So my mobility
right,
from the waist down is really limited.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of device would you try to come up with to help me?
Well, one of the devices we have right now is called KitchenBot. And this is for people that have a difficulty reaching under a cabinet, for example, or reaching over their head. And basically, it's on a track, and it's like a pole, and it's got a manipulator as well as a camera. And so it can, for example, go above your head into the cabinet and find the cornstarch. The camera would look at the objects, recognize the right object, and a grisper would go in and grab it and bring it down to you. So, but if you're more incapacitated, then you'd have a more sophisticated system. So we have another subject called Herb for Home Exploring Robotic Butler, and Herb can actually prepare meals for you, can find new objects, can bring you things that you request.
So, all right, so let's go back to the robot that assists you. So am I giving verbal commands? Let's say you mentioned the cornstarch. Let's say I'm trying to reach for the cornstarch. Is that what do I turn to the robot and say, please get me the cornstarch?
Well, there's another topic that we have that actually projects a recipe right on your counter. And you could recognize the gesture, so you could point to the elements in your recipe and that would inform the robot what to fetch.
Point to the elements. So the robot's reading what's there?
No, it turns out we're using the Kinect technology, which has been used in games. And you can take any surface, and I can make a gesture on that surface that would be recognized.
Gotcha.
And then the recipe would be projected by a projector on that surface. And then when you select something, again, the gesture would be recognized as to what you're pointing to.
Wow. And so there's not a whole lot of talking going on.
No, nope, doesn't need to be.
Interesting. And let's say that I can't do much of anything for myself in terms of preparing a meal. And you're saying there's a butler-like robot,
right,
that does the whole thing. How do you make that happen?
Well,
and is this a robot that looks like a humanoid with arms and legs?
It's got arms and it does wear a bow tie. If people want to look at it, they could Google Herb and Oreo cookie, and there's actually a video there of how Herb can actually separate the cookie from the cream.
Yeah, we're gonna post that video on our website. So he is it by the robot with the bow tie, the butler. So is his name Jeeves or something?
No, it's Herb.
He's Herb. He's Herb the robot. Okay. And so Herb does this for you. And it sounds like do the people that have these robots in their homes, this technology, are they comfortable? Do they enjoy this?
Well, right now these robots are too expensive to broadly distribute. But we do bring subjects in, and we ask them about their familiarity and comfort with the robot. So, for example, we have a robot called Snackbot, which goes along our building and brings you snacks that you ordered the previous day.
We could use one of those here, maybe.
Yeah, right, and tries to encourage you to eat healthy.
That's always – wait a minute. How does it encourage you to eat healthy?
Well, it has a banter, and it says, well, everybody else has got an apple today. Don't you want one?
But it doesn't slap your hand if you're reaching for the candy bar. Okay, that's good. Now, there's the question of cost. So let's say I'm someone who's really enamored with this, and is there a way to create this technology, make it available to people? Because if it's a cost issue, as you say, if you one less month spent in a nursing home, you add it all together among the people who are avoiding that, it's $1 billion.
Yes.
You said being saved was the figure you used. So how do you make this technology, which doesn't sound cheap, economic enough to the point where people can afford it and practically apply it?
Well, it takes an evolution. Like first things that we build typically are much more expensive because we don't know what
we're
doing. But once we know what we're doing, we can streamline things. For example, we have a virtual coach for helping people in power wheelchairs know that they should change their position periodically. Initially, we put sensors into the power wheelchair and had a separate computer. Now we've made it a cell phone app and a couple of wireless sensors that you Velcro onto your chair. So now we've made it basically, $3.95, download an app and a couple $20 sensors. Whereas before, it was a custom chair.
Are these robots good company? Are they the? I mean, might people develop some sort of
yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we have a one of our spinoff companies makes a robot called Romebo, and Romebo looks like a big gumdrop, but it has got very expressive eyes and antennas. And initially, it was designed to help autistic children communicate. But now it turns out to be a good pet and companion for senior citizens. And we're actually trying to get high school robotics clubs to build these Romebos and take them to senior centers and bridge the gap of the generations by technology.
And you're saying that this is technology that at some point, if not in the near future, will be affordable for people
and
everybody may have one. So this is what was envisioned years ago, decades ago, wasn't
it? Yes, it was.
And it's being developed at the Quality of Life Center, a National Science Foundation Engineering Research Center in Oakland. And we are talking with the director of that center, Dan Sawarek, who is joining us here in studio to not only talk about robotics, but technology that goes beyond robotics. If you have a comment or a question for our guest, 412-246-2002, the number to call. That's 412-246-2002. So what about the forms of technology? What forms of technology are there that go beyond robotics?
Well, one of the things I mentioned a little bit earlier is virtual coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And so they could be cognitive coaches. They could be physical coaches. We're working with a company in Boston called Myomo, which makes a robotic arm brace for people who have suffered strokes. They're rehabilitating their arms that may have been the brain may have been damaged during the stroke. And so it basically consents the contraction and relaxing of your muscle and has a motor that provides you a power assist. Now, that's fine, but what happens, as we all know, exercise is boring. And so the coaches watch what you're doing, gives you positive feedback, and actually we tied it to games now, so we've tried to make it a little more addictive.
And is there a business model, as companies reach out to you, is there a way that a company can profit from this, from the manufacturer of these things?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, the price of these are much cheaper than, you know, having human help, particularly if you have to have help 24 hours a day.
We've been talking a lot about our aging population and what senior citizens might need, what their needs are and how they might be addressed. But there are also younger people who have needs as well that might be addressed by some of this technology. Katie on Twitter asks, what technology, if any, is being developed to help young people with mental/physical disabilities transition to independent living? Which is really what it all comes down to for the young or for the old.
Right. Well, right now we're working with Google Glass. You may have heard about these. These are sort of glasses with a display that can actually take pictures. And, for example, one of the things that we're working with is taking your blood pressure. And devices are very complicated, and we can look at the device with our Google Glass, take a picture, do the object recognition, pick out the screen, pick out the characters on the screen, and then whisper to the person what they need to do for their next step.
Interesting. How much of this technology is out in the real world right now?
Well, it's starting to emerge. We spun off 13 companies out of Qualt. So far, half a dozen of them are still viable and going to transition to technology.
Dan, are there any personal circumstances that led you to take up this kind of research and work?
Well, as I was watching my parents as they declined, they're mutually supporting each other. My mom was confused about medication. My father took care of that. My father is diabetic. My mom would remind him to eat so he wouldn't get a lack of sugar. And then when my father went into a nursing home and eventually passed away, my mom was in independent living and had to take her blood sugar reading. And if she couldn't take it, she'd have to go from independent living to nursing home. And I would call her up each morning, and by the beeps that the device was making, I could tell what errors she was making. I could coach her through to be able to take her own sugar reading. So that motivated me that, you know, technology could have done that and kept her independent instead of being in a nursing home.
And so as a professor of electrical and computer engineering and computer science, this is what eventually brought you to the Quality of Life Center?
Yes.
So what sorts of things do you have lined up for the future?
Wow. Okay, well, we think that things like Google Glass provide an opportunity for cognitive aids. And we started work on this 20 years ago with maintenance of aircraft. And now it's got down from $5,000 to, you know, hundreds of dollars. One of the projects we're doing right now is with Neil Alexander. You may have heard about him with the Live Like Lou.
Right.
And so as he's
talking about the ALS.
ALS, right. And as he declines, about the last thing he'll have control over are his eyes. So we have students developing an eye tracker so he can actually operate his computer and send messages to his wife's cell phone.
And then, of course, there are the people that are affected by age or one sort of condition or another. And then there are, of course, the caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about quality of life technology that helps them?
Well, let me just give you another quick example. So one of our projects is called Mem Exercisers, or people who are early stage of dementia and they forget things. And so we can take pictures throughout the day and take audio snippets. And then a caregiver can make a little movie about that, and then the patient can play it back over and over again and relieving the caregiver from constantly repeating things. And it turns out they actually improve the person's memory about not only that event but about other events. So in addition to relieving the caregiver, it also helped the patient.
Dan Swarick is director of the Quality of Life Technology Center in Oakland. It is a National Science Foundation Engineering Research Center. by what you've told us. Obviously, some fascinating things going on there. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
Coming up, travel contributor Elaine LaBaume takes us to wild and wonderful West Virginia. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.